Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Haunted Road, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. Listener discretion is advised.
This episode of Haunted Road is extra special to me. It takes place in a town where many of you know I lived for a time, and many of my family still call it home, so I'm there at least a few times a year. It's quaint yet eclectic, and the whole main street is very, very haunted. Today's location is a bit elusive to me, though. I've been inside it many times, and I've glided my hands across the rich wooden railings in the lobby, wondering what stories they could tell. But I've never investigated it, never even had a paranormal experience there. And let me tell you, after the stories and history we will discuss today, I am determined to change this ASAP. Come with me to Placerville, California, otherwise known as Old Hangtown, and let's visit the Carey House Hotel. I'm Amy Bruni, and this is Haunted Road. Nestled in the El Dorado National Forest just east of Sacramento, there's a small city called Placerville. It's a colorful community, literally. Pink and blue buildings line the streets with old-fashioned facades that feel like something out of a Technicolor Old West. One brick structure on Main Street sticks out. It's 4 stories tall, so it towers over its shorter neighbors, brightly lit and welcoming. A second-story balcony is encircled by a wrought iron railing strung with lights, all under a green awning. More lights dot the roof, illuminating a sign that identifies the property as Carey House. On the side of the building, another sign specifies Hotel. Inside, the lobby boasts green carpet with a swirling circular pattern reminiscent of leaves. The stained glass windows depict the four seasons, according to Jerry Beard's article with Style magazine, titled In History, Carey House Hotel in Placerville. The 40 or so guest rooms are all upstairs, and visitors ascend an ornate mahogany staircase to reach them. Each chamber has furniture and decor appropriate to the 1800s. Elegant nightstands, decorative moldings, and windows draped with white curtains. While the building originally had shared communal restrooms for guests, these days each room has its very own bathroom. Some of the more sizable suites have kitchenettes as well. The business was built in 1915. Reportedly constructed from the bricks of another hotel with the same name that previously stood at the same address. Before that, a saloon beckoned customers to the same spot. Called the El Dorado Hotel and Saloon, it was founded in the rough and tumble Old West era, which is when European prospectors first settled in the region. The California Gold Rush began in the mid-19th century, just a short distance away from Placerville, which was originally dubbed Old Dry Diggins. According to the City of Placerville's Placerville City History website, the name was a very literal description of the process miners would follow to try to recover gold from the area. They'd dig up carts of dry dirt, then dip the soil into running water to wash away the sediment and sort out small bits of ore. Life in Old Dry Diggins could be brutal. Buyers often swept through town, and because the buildings were made of wood and built close together, a small spark could easily burn the whole outpost to the ground. The settlement ignited 3 separate times in 1856 alone. Additionally, communities like Old Dry Diggins were often lawless, and it was common for citizens to take justice into their own hands. According to a journalist named Edward Gould Buffum, a vigilante mob was moved to violence in January of 1849. That month, five men, none of whom spoke English, were caught attempting to rob a man named Lopez. They were arrested and sentenced to be publicly whipped 39 times. However, after their punishment was dealt, another accuser came forward, claiming the five had been involved in another attempted robbery and homicide. It's hard to say if the accusation was credible, because the men weren't granted a fair trial. As local historian and reporter Doug Noble reported in an October 2009 issue of the Mountain Democrat, they were too weak from the recent lashing to get to the courtroom. So while they recovered in a nearby house, the locals threw together a makeshift jury and weighed their guilt without taking the accused robbers' statements or giving them a chance to defend themselves. Edward Buffum was present for the trial, and he watched as the townspeople were roused into a violent frenzy. One person shouted that the five men should be hanged, and many others cheered the idea. When Edward tried to calm them and make them listen to reason, the crowd turned on him until he quieted. Edward watched in horror as the rest of the mob dragged the condemned men out of the house. It's possible the accused didn't even know what was going on. They repeatedly asked for an interpreter, but the locals refused even this mercy. Edward writes that the five were blindfolded, bound, and placed atop a wagon with nooses around their necks. When the wagon pulled forward, the nooses tightened, and the men met their fates, hung from a white oak tree. In an article titled Criminal Annals Part 3, Buffum's version of the hangings, Doug Noble quotes the article Edward later wrote about the event. He said, "This was the first execution I ever witnessed. God grant that it may be the last." Sadly, this proved to be far from an isolated incident. Another extrajudicial hanging occurred the following year in 1850. The El Dorado Hotel and Saloon had recently been erected right across the street from the oak tree, and one day at the hotel, a brawl broke out over a card game. The fight escalated until a man named Richard Crone, nicknamed Irish Dick, stabbed another person three times. Sadly, his victim did not survive the attack. When Irish Dick was tried for the murder, a huge crowd of almost 2,000 angry locals assembled outside the courthouse. A judge determined the killer should be sent to jail, and apparently this was too lenient for the townsfolk. When Irish Dick was led out of the courthouse, the crowd swarmed over him. Doug Noble writes that they tossed a lasso over Irish Dick's head and used it to haul him over to a nearby white oak tree, the same tree the five accused robbers were hanged from the year before. Like them, Irish Dick died suspended from its boughs in spite of the fact that he never received a formal death sentence. Thanks to incidents like these, the community earned the nickname Hangtown. For 50 years, the official town logo featured an image of a tree with a dangling noose. And the oak that was used for these hangings became a tourist destination in its own right. After it was chopped down, a bar was built around the stump, called, appropriately, the Hangman's Tree. Today, you can still trek to 308 Main Street and view what remains of the old oak in the basement. Local lore aside, it can be tricky to speculate on just how common these hangings were, as record-keeping at the time was less than thorough. That's not only true of vigilante activities, but also the day-to-day operations in Hangtown. For example, there were many rumors, which are almost impossible to verify, of a front desk clerk who worked at the Carey House Hotel at some point in the 19th century. His name was Stan Levine. It's hard to say if he was an employee at the El Dorado Hotel and Saloon, which operated from 1849 to 1856, or the Carey House Hotel, which was built at the same location after a fire burned down the initial structure. Either way, there are no records of Stan or his tenure, but rumor suggests that when he was alive, he had a terrible cough. The Visit El Dorado website also says he was prone to drinking to excess, and when he was inebriated, he tended to get belligerent and handsy. He had a reputation for grabbing his customers' bottoms when he was drunk. It's said that he died in the hotel where he worked, but again, this is difficult to verify. Accounts of his death vary wildly. In some stories, he was murdered after making a pass at a male client while they both stood at the top of a staircase. The customer was reportedly so enraged by the same-sex flirtation that he drew a knife and stabbed Stan twice in the chest. Wounded, Stan fell down the stairs and took his last breath at the bottom. In other accounts, the killer was a jealous husband who flew into a murderous fury after Stan flirted with his wife. Once again, it's said the deadly confrontation took place on the stairwell, but in this version, the husband shot Stan at the bottom. In her book, Haunted Hotels of the California Gold Country, author Nancy Williams writes that Stan dragged himself from the stairs to the parlor where the woman he'd been flirting with watched in horror. Stan died as he stared at her tear-filled eyes. And still, other narratives describe Stan simply succumbing to alcohol-related illness after years of excessive drinking. However he died, it's said his spirit remains in the Carey house. When visitors approach the base of the staircase, they say a wave of great sadness comes over them, and it seems like he never got over his propensity for pinching people's bottoms. Guests, men and women alike, sometimes feel his touch on their backsides in the hotel's lobby and in the alley and sidewalk outside the building. Others hear Stan's familiar cough or a whistle inside, and when strange mists form in the lobby, it could be evidence of his presence. Stan seems prone to wandering out of the hotel. It's reported that the front door often opens on its own, and in a bookstore that sits near a bar Stan used to frequent, books often go flying off the shelves. Linda Botcher wrote in Gold Rush Ghosts of Placerville, Coloma, and Georgetown that Stan tears the books down in frustration after finding there's no liquor in the shop. However, Stan is believed to be equally destructive in a local winery tasting room, how dare you, which he also visits. Accounts say he shatters wine glasses and interferes with electronics. On one occasion, he cranked the tasting room's music up to drown out the sound of a customer talking. When the bartender snapped at Stan to knock it off, the sound abruptly cut out and wouldn't start again for the rest of the day. When the wine tasting room is supposedly empty, security cameras capture balls of light that have been attributed to the deceased desk clerk. In addition, there have been accounts of piano music playing at the top of the Carey House's stairs, disembodied footsteps, and an unseen woman crying. The elevators run without being called, smelling strongly of cigar smoke. Items move on their own, including breakfast food, which is sometimes found tossed around the dining area in the early hours. Numerous spirits have been spotted in the hotel, but many of their identities are unknown. Accounts describe a pretty woman in a blue dress and a young girl who have each appeared on the staircase. Some suggest a former kitchen employee is responsible for the sounds of dishes being washed when the kitchen should be empty. That staffer may also be the culprit when the breakfast food is disturbed. On the Carey House page of hauntedhouses.com, Julie Carr writes of one occasion when an employee stepped onto the balcony, only to find a man in Old West-style clothing sitting at a table playing cards. While the worker stood, unsure of how to react, the prospector's spirit slowly faded until no evidence remained to suggest he was ever there. Perhaps the most famous specter to appear in the Carey House Hotel may be Black Bart, an infamous outlaw who stayed at the hotel during his life. Rumors suggest his spirit still lurks in the building. In addition to these sightings, strange things happen in the hotel that defy explanation. According to author Linda Botcher, on one occasion, a woman checked into the Carey House and was assigned to stay in room 207. She was in her room when it came time to sign the guest book. She pulled out her black ink pen, pressed the tip to paper, and everything she wrote came out blood red. Disturbed, the woman paused in confusion. Then she tried to write again, and once more, scarlet letters splattered across the page. This was so upsetting, she ran out of the room with the guest book still in her hands and didn't stop until she reached the front desk. There, the woman handed the pen to the clerk, but when they tried to write, the ink came out in standard black. Another account, one more from Linda, describes two women who were spending the night in room 307 in April 2012. One of them woke in the middle of the night because her friend was shouting, "Help me, I am terrified." When she rushed over to check on her friend, the one who'd cried for help said she'd seen a man in a plaid shirt lying in bed with her. When she tried to get away, she found herself unable to move until her friend ran up to help. Many accounts feature room 212, said to be the most haunted room at the Carey House Hotel. It's often chilly, even when the rest of the building is toasty warm. Electronics lose power rapidly, a rocking chair sways on its own, and visitors detect an ominous ticking noise that doesn't have any clear source. In this room, paranormal investigators have made contact with a man they've identified as Arnold Weidman, a teamster who stayed there sometime in the 1800s. It's said he fell ill with influenza and died in the chamber. Since then, numerous people claim they've seen him in the room. Sometimes he has a long beard. Other times, witnesses can only see him from the chest down, an apparition of blue jeans, a flannel shirt, and boots, but no shoulder, arms, or head. His devastated widow is also said to haunt the Carey House. When she passes through room 212, you can tell because the whole area smells of lavender. She's also been seen in nearby rooms like 209, which is also often unseasonably chilly. All these stories are just the tip of the iceberg. Some believe the entire town of Placerville is haunted. I'm one of them, while the Carey House is a hub for the city's spectral activity. To help me make sense of the many, many supernatural activities here, I'm talking to Charlotte Cosa. She heads up a paranormal team in California called California Haunts and has investigated the Carey House on multiple occasions. That's coming up after the break.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I am now joined by a blast from the past for me, and we'll go into that a little bit shortly, but Charlotte Cosa is joining me, and she is the founder of California Haunts in California, a longtime paranormal team that I've known of for years. And so it's so great to kind of catch up with you, Charlotte. Thanks for joining.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's ironic that, like, I'm talking about the Carey House, and I've never investigated there because... Uh-huh. My whole family lives in Placerville in the Bay Area, and like I'm in Placerville multiple times a year, and I've always wanted to investigate it. And so I kind of knew, I was like, I know someone who's investigated this place, and your name popped up immediately.
So. I've been around.
Yeah. Well, I've investigated a lot of places in Placerville. I love Placerville, by the way. I moved there my senior year in high school, so that was a long time ago. And it just really was so charming. And back then it was still kind of artsy and rednecky and nobody really knew about it. But now everybody knows about it and it's really blown up. So the secret's out, but it's a great little town. But it used to just be like where you stop to go to McDonald's and use the bathroom on the way to Tahoe.
right.
So
but it's become so much more, yeah. And then Main Street, I mean... Every building practically on Main Street is haunted. Practically every building.
Exactly. I've investigated a number of buildings on Main Street. I have not gotten my hands into the Carey House. So I know the stories. I know the history. And now you investigate it with your team a few times, right?
Yes.
Just kind of off the top of your head, like, what do you say is probably the activity that people encounter at that hotel most often?
I think it's Stan. Stan was a desk clerk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I heard too. And like that, because like there's a laundry list of activity that is attributed to Stan. And so did you have any interaction with who you think could be him when you investigated there?
We did. In fact, our psychic who was with us at the time, who you might know.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. She's the one, you know, that was talking to him. And I have it right in front of me right now. She heard a whisper, and she says she envisioned him with a mustache, a lot of gray hair, and he had a beard. He would have been the one who went out mining, okay, and would come back to herself. Maybe it's a miner she's talking about. And then she made her way up the stairs. She stepped first. Stan, she encountered on the stairs.
That's like what's right in the lobby area. Like the lobby is, you walk into that hotel, and it's clearly historic. There's like stained glass. It's all dark wood. It's very original looking. And so, yeah, I could definitely see Stan being a culprit for some things.
So what she picked up was that he would have been a permanent fixture here. She didn't know any information about the hotel at all.
Okay.
So she says that he's the one that looks after the building, because that's exactly what it is, because he was like the hotel desk clerk manager at the hotel when all this went down. But he also had, and I think you know the history, he also had an eye for the ladies.
Yes.
So he was forever flirting with people and whatnot, and that's what ended his life. And there's conflicting things about the way he passed away, too, because some, like my team, when we were out there, came up with the fact that he was stabbed.
Okay.
On the stairs there. But there's other people that say he was shot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of conflicting.
Right.
But he is, he's been there for a long time, and I understand from hotel employees that I have talked to during pre-interviews for investigations that he will also let them know if there's something wrong and related to, like, fire.
Oh, really? So he's kind of watching over the building. Like, how does he let them know? Yeah. What does he do?
Well, I just think they hear whispers. And I think that's pretty much what's going on, because people can hear voices in there. They can hear whispers. And I think he'll talk to the front desk clerks and tell them stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, do you know? So I don't know. Like, I feel like, I don't know how long the most recent owners have owned the hotel. Uh-huh. And I know that they had Jack and Katrina in there not too long ago. So I know that there was an episode of Portals filmed there. And I think that's the only paranormal show that filmed there. Or maybe Ghost Adventures did. I can't remember. But do you know, like, do they embrace their hauntings there now, or are they kind of shying away from that?
No, they're willing to tell stories, but to have groups come in, it's a little more difficult to have a team come in, because, you know, it's kind of hard to tell with them whether they're all for it, or, like you say, whether they're embracing it or not. Obviously, they're embracing it because the history draws people in, but as far as investigators going in, it's, you know, it's still few and far between to get in there to investigate.
Well, yeah, and it's difficult too, because it's a working hotel. So unless you want to like buy out the whole place, you know, it's a, which I guess if you're a TV production with a lot of money, you could do that. I am not that person. So,
we're a pro team.
Yeah. So, okay. Now I know there are certain rooms that are haunted. Did you encounter any activity like in any of the hotel rooms in particular?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
How did that go?
It was interesting. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, over the years in those old towns, and you probably know this, is there was a lot of disease rampant back then. You know, like we talk about COVID, but I mean, you're looking at cholera, you're looking at flu, you know, because people died from the flu back then. And the hotel does have a history of several guests dying from the flu. And the thing is, the two main guests, the Wiedermans, the husband and wife, they're still there. They haven't gone anywhere. And so they like to appear by your bed. You'll be sleeping, and then you look up, and there's a guy with a beard staring down at you.
Yeah, I mean, that would be disconcerting, you know, especially if you're, you know, you're up in Placerville just visiting and going wine tasting or something, and then you wake up to that in your bedroom, which probably not what people are looking for.
His wife, Mrs. Wiederman, she appears to people in rooms 209 and 211, and she just shows up wearing a flowing blue gown. As I guess she emits a, from what we could smell lavender when she came in the room.
That's interesting. And so her apparition is seen as well. And now, is there anything like that's kind of, I mean, I don't know if you encountered that or maybe just what they reported to you. Has there ever been anything there that frightened people? Have you heard of guests kind of running off in the night or anything like that there?
I have heard that, yeah. In fact, just recently, one of my investigators told me that her family lives in Placerville. So she was up on Main Street, and she told me that she was told by employees that, you know, just within the last maybe 6 months, there's been people that have gotten up during the night and taken off and not come back.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening. I'm honestly shocked that I haven't stayed there, to be honest. Maybe next time I'm in town, I'm going to have to just get a room and do some investigating. But I was waiting for them to invite me, but I could be waiting forever. So maybe I just need to take it upon myself.
Because when I went in, you know, we went in because I worked for the newspaper there at that time. And so we went in for a newspaper article. That's how we got in with the team.
Oh, the Mountain Democrat. That's right. I remember
that. Yeah, I was
that.
Able to write a newspaper article about the Carey House. So, you know, that's how we got in. And then the other couple of times have been the same way.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is. It's just that they want to embrace it. But on the other hand, they want to, I don't know if they're trying to keep it to themselves just to draw people in or what. But I mean, I'm not saying anything against them because it's a beautiful place. But it is hard to get in there for a full investigation.
Yeah. Okay, so we have apparitions, we have whispers, and like beyond apparitions, did you guys encounter like any shadow figures or did you get any EVPs in particular?
Yes.
Oh, please tell me all about it.
As far as EVPs go, we didn't get a lot of good stuff, but we did encounter shadow figures in there's like a meeting room.
Mm-hmm.
You walk straight in through the doors and in the back there's this meeting room and we were encountering shadow figures there, as well as a dance. There's an empty room, like a dance floor, you know, essentially. But that's that room. And all my investigators saw dark shadows in the corner near the bar in there.
Yeah. Okay. And then now that area, the bar, where was that again? Is the bar like on the main floor or is it downstairs?
Yeah. When you walk in and you go straight through the lobby and then that room is back there. And that's where they hold their weddings and all that stuff back in there.
Got it. Now, I had also heard through the grapevine, actually, that the activity has even kind of spilled out from the hotel itself, like meaning that people encounter things like in that little, there's a cheese. Okay, so just really quick for the audience, this is like my dream place, by the way. There's literally, it's this haunted hotel and it has a wine shop and a cheese shop attached to it. So I could, I would never have to leave if I was there. So, but have you heard that? I had heard the activities actually spilled into some of those little shops that I'm sure were part of the hotel in the past.
Right. Yes, it has. In fact, even the gentleman, I'll throw in some extra history here. Even the hangman will hang out in the hotel, the original hangman.
I've heard that.
He gets around.
Yeah.
He gets around too, but yeah, it has spilled out. And I mean, you know what people don't understand about Placerville is, you know, compared to the East Coast, old for us is young for you guys out there.
Uh-huh.
But when these ghosts hang out, they want to hang out. I mean, they've been partying, you know, coming out of the mine, so they're in their mindset. They're still there, partying, and so Main Street is just insane with energy. I remember my first day on Main Street, not realizing how much energy there was, and I was having visions all over the place, just driving up and down Main Street. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah. And I think if people visit Placerville, like it's important to know, like, for example, there is a cafe a little further down Main Street. It used to be the Cosmic Cafe. I don't know what it is
right,
now.
Right, right, right.
I used to get my hair done next door and stuff. But like literally there is a mine in the back of the building. I don't know if it's open now, but like you used to be able to just walk into this mine all the way back into the mountain. You could have your coffee back there. I've investigated there a few times. And it's like that all over Main Street. Like there's the bookstore. There is like a piece of like the mine and a cave underneath the floor. They have like a plexiglass over it. You're walking over it, looking down. I think most recently they had a fake skeleton down there last time.
I was just thinking about that right now. The guy has a sense of humor that Dale owns the bookstore.
But they're all attached. And these buildings are like that hardware store on Main Street. It is the oldest operating hardware store. What is it? East or west of the Mississippi.
Right.
There's a lot of little claims to fame like that in Placerville. And it's just the history there is insane. Even, you know, I live there for quite a while and I still go there all the time.
Right.
I think I'm even listed on their Wikipedia page as a notable resident. I'm in love with that town. And even though all the history here in, you know, New England where I live now, I still like, I don't think people realize everything that happened in these kind of gold rush towns. So Carey House Hotel or not, I think a lot of that is in that hotel still.
And then plus you have the underground caverns, you know, the tunnels under there where even for the Carey House, that's how they got the men folk would see the ladies of the night.
Yeah.
Without going like mainstream, as they say, because they could go on paths underneath the streets and everything and then go over those places and everything.
That's what I love. Everywhere you go in the, those gold rush towns, everything was a former bordello. It was all, they all used to be bordello. Everywhere you go, you could go to, like, you know, Taco Bell and they're like, this used to be a bordello. So it's, but I love that about it. Okay. So now we've talked about shadow figures. We've had whispers. What other things did you guys encounter there that you found like fascinating?
The cat.
A cat. Okay, I don't remember.
There's
hearing
a deceased
about it.
Cat in the hotel that likes to haunt the hotel, and people will be staying. It could be any room in the hotel, and people will be staying in these rooms at night, and they'll feel this cat jump up on the bed.
Okay,
and they could actually pet the cat. It's been dead for years. This cat, it just likes to hang out there.
This is like a documented cat that the hotel had at one point.
Oh, I guess so. At some point, yeah. Now something I could tell you that was unique because it was a saloon. You know, El Dorado saloon. Well, you read the history.
Yeah.
So we were in that back room and, you know, been for the newspaper article, and I actually picked up the sound of a shot glass. You know how when people will like to take a drink and turn the glass over and slap it down on a wood surface?
Yeah.
I actually picked up the sound of that happening.
That's so, like, that they're back there still, you know, taking shots in the afterlife. Yeah. That I love. But also, like, going back to the cat, I like that because people ask me all the time if I've ever encountered the ghosts of animals. They want, mostly people want to know, like, do their animals come back? And it remarkably, it happens pretty often, especially with cats, strangely. Like, I've even investigated, this is not the Carey House, but I investigated a place that said they had a ghost cat. And this was in New Hampshire somewhere. And I remember, obviously, as soon as they said that they had a ghost cat, I was like, where? And they said, in the basement. And I was like, goodbye. And I went straight to the basement. And so I went down there and I actually felt, it felt like there was a cat rubbing against my leg. And I got an EVP of a cat purring. And so, like, they definitely, I mean, I firmly believe that. And especially, like, can you imagine the life that a hotel cat would have? Like, everybody petting it every day and feeding it. Like, why would they want to leave, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the Cosmic, well, it's not, I don't know what it's called now, but the Cosmic Cafe also has a Phantom Cat.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I have to find out what they're called now, because I have been there since, that was the old name, but I've been there many times over the years, like, to see friends, bands, and things. And it's a really cool space.
It is a really cool space. So to give you an idea of the ghosts at the Carey House, because that's what we're talking about right now, there's a little girl entity.
Right. Okay.
The theory is that she was a Weedman and she died. Weederman's her name. And she died at the flu.
And now, did you encounter her at all in your investigations?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, we could hear her running up and down the second floor hallway. And she was giggling when we were up there. There's another entity that hangs out in the meeting room right at the hotel. And she just likes to hang out in there and watch people walk by. She's one of those looky-loo spirits.
Okay. That's interesting. And so that's in that same meeting room where you saw like shadows and things too.
Yeah, yeah. And she had been a prostitute from what she told us.
And now was this gathered like psychically or did you get like EVPs or?
Psychically and dowsing rods.
Oh, okay.
Because when we do go out, I'm a stickler for, I don't put the evidence out there unless I have at least 2 to 3 verifications on it.
Right, right.
So I'll work with dowsing rods and a psychic and then, you know, cameras and EVPs and, you know, and all that stuff to confirm it.
That's nice. That's good. Yeah.
There's also a wagon driver.
Oh.
But he's only seen, he only partially appears. So you get the bottom half.
Oh, so it's not a full, I've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah. It's all from the waist down.
Okay. And so is that like more of a residual spirit? Like, is he interacting?
I think it's more residual. Yeah. I think it's more residual.
Yeah. Okay. I hadn't heard that one.
And there's also, of course, like all those other hotels, there's a cook in the kitchen that doesn't want to go. You know, there's always one in the kitchen. And so they've got their share.
That's too funny. So that's I mean, that's a cast of characters in that place.
Yes. Yes. It's a very busy place. Now, I know there's reports of people walking by, you know, because they have the balcony outside. And I know there's reports of people walking down Main Street, seeing people in period clothing up on that balcony.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because so one of the things Placerville likes to do is there are regularly period dressed people walking around because they do, especially during like the holidays and stuff, they do wagon rides through town and there's a lot of like living history reenactors. And so you would really not know. You could be looking at a ghost and you wouldn't know it. You would just think it was another reenactor, come to think of it.
There's also a gambler, of course, in there. He's one of the main ones that hangs out on the balcony. He's out there playing cards.
So that balcony, can you even go out there anymore? I feel like...
I don't know. I don't know if they let people out there anymore. I know they did that 10 years ago, but yeah, I don't know what they did. I haven't been out there in a while. We've investigated probably every building on Main Street.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I've investigated quite a few as well back in the day. I think we even did some group investigations there once where we just went from building to building. But yeah, the balcony, I feel like I remember it being a little saggy, maybe not something you'd want to sit on or stand
kinda
on. So if I saw someone up there, kind of spooky.
Kinda spooky.
So if I saw someone up there now, I would be questioning whether or not they were living or not.
See, that's the one thing, kids, if you're a ghost hunter. We want to hunt ghosts. We don't want to become one.
No, no. You don't want to you don't want to be another one of those casts of characters at the Carey house, except you're like the modern ghost. No. And
no, you know, and yeah. But you know, it's like, you know, we've done so many old hotels that I'm not saying that they're all the same because it's not fair to say that. But I mean, you have similar, you know, ghosts in all these hotels.
Right. And I think that the history, too, of just Main Street in general, because, you know, Placerville is still referred to as Hangtown because they did, you know, there were a lot of, they hung a lot of people on the Main Street. It was a big affair there.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't know if the hanging man is still hanging on Main Street. Last time I was there, he was there.
They closed that, they have torn down that building.
Oh, okay. All right.
They moved it further down Main Street.
Oh.
But I think they moved him too, but they're still.
Yeah, I feel like he was still there. There's literally still a man hanging. A mannequin hanging on Main Street.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that place, too, is that it had it upstairs, and there was a lot of activity upstairs in that place.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like Placerville's just as busy in the afterlife as it is currently.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, I got into these weird things with my abilities, not realizing that I was empathic, really, until I got to Placerville. And I remember I would be seeing things, like if I had an investigation schedule somewhere, I would see the ghost from that particular investigation the night before, always.
Oh, wow.
So I'm having lunch. I was supposed to go to, I don't know, one of the buildings on Main Street. I'm having lunch one day, and I see this man walk from one wall and go through another right in front of me.
Oh, geez. Yeah, well, that would be alarming.
And things like that. Just, you know, there was a buildup to this investigation. Just like Anna from the boys' school up there in Iowa.
Oh, yeah. I did do an episode on that as well, Preston Castle.
I ran into her in the bathroom at my work.
Oh, geez. So they're coming around.
I felt like I was being watched, look over my shoulder. There was this kind of white-haired woman standing there in one of those old-timey smocks. And it was Anna Corbin.
Oh, geez.
So, I mean, you know, that stuff goes on. But yeah, I mean, I highly recommend, I mean, if you're out and about with your family or whatever, the Carey House, is, for the most part, is safe to take your family in as far as entities because they really don't harm. I mean, there are a couple, there's always baddies. You know, you're always going to run into that. But the majority of it is that, you know, it's just lost souls in there.
Yeah. Okay, well, tell us what you're doing so we can kind of shout it out to the audience. So you are, obviously, you have your team. I know you have a podcast. Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
They can find me everywhere. I'm on Facebook, through California Haunts. We also have a California Haunts radio site there, Sacramento Sears, S-E-E-R-S. And I'm over on Instagram, as you know, as Ghosty Gal. I'm on TikTok as California Haunts. I have California Haunts on Twitter and Cal Haunts on, the other one I can't think of it now. But yeah. There's so many of them.
There's so many. Yeah, you're easy to track down. So it was really nice to catch up with you. And I do really appreciate you taking the time. And so I'll be out there soon next month out there for Christmas and everything. So I'm just going to go up to the Carey House and be like, excuse me, let me in.
That would be cool.
In the mid-1800s, Gold Rush towns like Hangtown represented both opportunity and ruin. The promise of glittering ore and the chance to strike it rich drew prospectors from all over the world. But these frontier towns were also hubs of injustice, disease, and violence. Today, the community now known as Placerville remembers its history. That's clear in everything from the 19th century style buildings that line Main Street to the historic decor of the rooms at the Carey House Hotel to the long dead specters that never left. I'm Amy Bruni. And this was Haunted Road. Are you tired of the same old vacation destinations and cookie-cutter experiences? Do you crave a sense of mystery, wonder, and adventure that can't be found in ordinary travel brochures? Do you listen to this podcast and think, I'd like to visit that spooky place? Well, that's why I started Strange Escapes, a paranormal-based travel company that takes you to some of the most haunted locations in the world. Frankly, it's my excuse to combine all of my favorite things, which is ghosts, beautiful hotels, food and wine, and other weirdos like me, to be honest. If that sounds right up your alley and you want to learn more, then visit strangeescapes.travel and hopefully you can join us sometime. Also, to keep up on all of my upcoming projects and appearances, head to amybruni.com. I have some really great things in the works and I don't want you to miss it. Thanks, Haunted Roadies. Haunted Road is hosted and written by me, Amy Bruni, with additional research by Cassandra De Alba. This show is edited and produced by Rima El-Khayali, with supervising producer Josh Thane and executive producers Aaron Mankey, Alex Williams, and Matt Frederick. Haunted Road is a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. Learn more about this show over at grimandmild.com. And for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.